إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session, reading from the Minhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal, the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning creed, that is, belief system, and actions, by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Tonight, inshallah, we'd like to take the first point, or we'd like to begin to read from the first point of 7 points that the Imam makes concerning the Minhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in various affairs, yani in Aqeedah, in Ibadah, yani in our relation with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and so on. Tonight, inshallah, we'd like to take the first point, but before that, we just want to review quickly some of the points that we discussed last week in the first session. And by the way, tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be reading from, in the English book, from page 12. In the English translation, from page 12, 13 and 14. And in Arabic, we're going to be reading from the middle of the second page, yani, and a little bit further on into, yani, maybe halfway into the third page. That's what we intend, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So in the Arabic text, we're going to be reading from the middle of the second page, and in the English translation, from page 12. Okay, the question and study guide from last week, the first question is, mention the author, rahimahullah's name, including the names of his father and grandfather. The author's name, Naam, Ibrahim.
Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Muhammad ibn Tamim al-Najdi.
Naam, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen and al-Tamimi al-Najdi. Tayyib, second question, mention the author, rahimahullah's place of birth, including the city, the province, the country, and his date of birth and death.
I have a question regarding the first question. You have a question regarding the first question?
Allahu musta'an.
Because concerning his name, I think three ibn.
So you say what? Yeah. Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Muhammad. Naam.
And his grandfather is Al-Uthaymeen. So I see Ibn Muhammad, so Muhammad is the name of his father.
Uh-huh. And yes, yes.
Ibn Salih. Salih is
Muhammad ibn Salih.
Ibn Salih, yeah.
Ibn Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen.
So the name of his grandfather is...
Apparently. Yes. Naam. Second question. Second question is in parts, right? His place of birth, any city, province, country, and date of birth and death. Yani, somebody just take the first part. Tariq, Naam. City of Unayza. Qasim region. Saudi Arabia. Mamlakat al-Arabiya Saudiya. Naam. Second part. His date of birth and death. Somebody else. Mustafa.
He was born on the 27th of Ramadan.
27th of Ramadan, year?
1437.
Somebody, death? Yeah? 15th of Shawwal. 1421 of the Hijra. Naam. Naam.
Huh?
1347. He said 14? 1347, 1421. Naam. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib. Question number three. Mention three of the authors, rahimahullah's most well-known teachers. First and foremost, his primary, most important teacher, somebody else. Yeah, Abdul Haq.
Sheikh Abdul Rahman.
Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di. Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasser Al-Sa'di. Second one. Naam Murshid. Sheikh Muhammad Amin Al-Shanqiti. And also, Naam, Naam Muhammad. Muhammad, Naam.
Abdullah Aziz.
Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Naam. From amongst many of his teachers, Naam, most famous of them. Question number 4. Mention 3 of the author, rahimahullah's most well-known books, and there are many. They are innumerable. Naam, Ibrahim, just give me one.
Minhaj Ahl
al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah fil al-Aqeedah wal-Amal. Naam, another one. Naam, Musa. Shah Kitab al-Tawheed, one of the most important books. Naam, one of the most important, if not the most important. Usul al-Thalath. Sharh Usul al-Thalath. Naam. Another book. Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam.
Sharh
Riyad al-Salihin. Naam. Sharh Arba'in al-Nawwi. Naam. Fiqh.
Al-Usul min ilm al-Usul.
Al-Usul min ilm al-Usul. Naam. Okay, good.
Sujood al-Sahw.
Sujood al-Sahw. Ahkam Sujood al-Sahw. Naam. And the books are many, naam?
Ayat
al-Kursi, Tafsir, Ayat al-Kursi, naam. Question number 5. Summarize the incident of the Jordanian youth who were charged 21,000 Saudi riyals for damage to a lamppost in Khaybar. The summary, the core, the essence of yani this incident. Naam, ya Tariq, you want to give us a summary, though? Summary, who can summarize it in just a few words? Naam, Abdul Wali.
The students hit a light pole
and went to
the
Sheikh. The students, yani traveling, going to Umrah, they hit a light post, in Khaybar. They couldn't pay the money, it was 21,000, so they went to somebody to help them with Sheikh Uthaymeen.
And he
told them to come back the next day.
And he didn't go back.
But he didn't go back.
And when he went to the gate, when he was trying to leave, they
when they were trying to leave the country, they wouldn't allow them to leave because they had to pay the 21,000.
They called the Sheikh, and the Sheikh called the security. Let him go.
They called the Sheikh then at that point, said, we're trying to get out of here. And in summary, yani, the Sheikh said, okay, I'll pay the money. He called the people at the police station and told them, I'll wire the money to you. And they
let him go.
Oh, one important part of the story, they refused to let him go. They refused to accept him to wire the money. They told him, no, we want cash. We want cash. What did the Sheikh do? He called the Emir of Medina, the ruler of the state, the governor. The Emir of Medina himself got on the phone with the police station and told them, chewed them out and told them to let the people go. And the state will pay for it. Now, Tayyib, this story has a lot to it that we need to reflect upon. The most important of it is that we should have respect for our scholars, not underestimate them. And that the rulers of the Muslim countries must respect the scholars. And that also the people in positions of leadership, like scholars or rulers or leaders, should be humble enough to help the people in need, whoever they may be. Question number 6. Mention the title of the book in Arabic and English. Title of the book in Arabic and English. Naam, ya, somebody here, a lot of people, nobody raising their hand. Tayyib, ya, who's that? Abdul Karim. Manhaj Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah?
No.
Uh-huh. What's the rest of it? Somebody help me. Okay. Manhaj Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah? Yes? Fil-Aqeedah wal-Amal. The manhaj in Aqeedah and the manhaj in Amal. In actions. Naam. Next question. Now, what's the meaning of this? Oh, I guess that's the meaning of it, right? Help us, ya Abdul Haq.
Huh?
The methodology of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah?
Regarding
the creed and the actions. The creed and the actions. Yani the aqeedah and the actions. Question number 7. Discuss the intended meaning of the expression. Yani, in summary, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah explaining both parts of the expression. What is the core essence of the meaning of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Murshid. The people of Sunnah who are joined together, whom Allah has guided to the truth, and the affairs about which the people differed. Okay, good. MashaAllah. In Arabic, anybody want to give it to us? Now.
Sheikh mentioned Al-Mutamassikun Bis-Sunnah.
That Ahl-Sunnah means Al-Mutamassikun Bis-Sunnah. Those who adhere strictly to the Sunnah. Wal-Jama'ah?
Al-Mujtami'una alayha.
Al-Mujtami'una alayha. Yani ala Sunnah. Yani Mutamassikun Bis-Sunnah. Al-Mujtami'una alayha. Those who hold fast to the Sunnah and they unite upon the Sunnah. They don't divide and separate and differ. They unite upon the Sunnah. Number 8, mention the hadith of the Ummah, the Muslims being divided in 73 sects after the era of Khulafa al-Rashideen. Yani, as the Shaykh mentioned it, he mentioned it, yani, paraphrasing without the full text of the hadith. Naam. Yani, the Jews divided into 71 sects. And the Christians divided into 72 sects. Naam. And this ummah, yani the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be divided into 73 sects. All of them will be in the fire except one. And it was said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? Those who are upon the like of what I and my companions are upon. In one of the narrations also mentioned, Al-Jama'ah, yani, كلها في النار إلا واحدة وهي الجماعة. Al-Jama'ah, naam. This is a very important hadith, and the Shaykh explains it in a good way in a lot of places, but in one of the places where he explains it in some detail and brings some good points out is in the explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah. Question number 9, the last question, because the 10th question passed on to today. Memorize the ayah and so in the 6th surah, 159th ayah, in which Allah declares the Prophet ﷺ to be free of those who separate into sects. Separate into sects. Waleed.
إن الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا لست منهم في شيء إنما أمرهم إلى الله
ثم ينبئهم
إنما أمرهم إلى الله ثم ينبئهم بما كانوا يفعلون
نعم. Yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning of which is, indeed, those who divide up their religion, become divided into sects and parties, or abandon the religion, according to one of the readings of this ayat, how it is read, فَارَقُوا, and divide themselves up into sects, you have nothing to do with them. Yani, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are free of them, and they have nothing to do with you. Indeed, their affair is going to return to Allah, and then He will inform them of what they used to do. Okay, this is yani the summary of what of the points that we covered last week. And with that, I'm going to make a couple of introductory points before we read from the book today. Today we're going to take the first point of 7 points that the Shaykh mentions. Now,
question 10,
we didn't discuss last week. We're going to discuss it today, so we deleted that question. Maybe you're not on the email list for the class. Because I did send out a modified study guide with only 9 questions. Naam. So please pay attention. Sometimes if we don't cover all the material that we intended to cover, we may modify the study guide to yani, take out the questions that we didn't cover. And the last question we didn't cover, we're going to cover today, inshallah. Tayyib, today I want to mention a couple of points, introductory 4 or 5 points, related to the topic that we're going to do today and the book in general. The first point being what we closed with last week, the Shaykh's explanation of Al-Murad, what is intended by Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And we just talked about, yani, what is intended by that? Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, what is intended by that? Al-Mutamassikun bis-Sunnah, those who adhere strictly to the Sunnah in everything in their life. Wal-Mujtami'una alayha, and those who unite with one another upon the Sunnah, upon the Haqq. Today I want to mention something related to the word Sunnah in Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. What is Sunnah? I think most of us know that the word sunnah in Islam for Muslims has many meanings. What do we mean by sunnah here? In this expression, Ahlus Sunnah والجماعه. There are several possible meanings that could be intended here, and I just want to look at some of them. The first meaning that I want to mention is what is mentioned in Al-Nihaya fi Ghareeb al-Hadith by Ibn al-Athir, rahimahullah. Al-Nihaya fi Ghareeb al-Hadith wal-Athar by Ibn al-Athir, rahimahullah. He says, Sanana, يعني the root word Sanana, قد تقرر في الحديث ذكر السنة وما تصرف منها والأصل فيها الطريقة والسيرة. This is the main point that I want to mention here. That this word has been repeated in hadith, the mention of the word sunnah many times in various hadith. And the words that are derived from it as well. وَالْأَصْلُ الْأَصْلُ فِيهَا التَّرِيقَةُ وَالسِّيرَةُ. The asl of the meaning of a sunnah is التَّرِيقَةُ وَالسِّيرَةُ. التَّرِيقَة وَالسِّيرَة. يعني the tariqa of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the asl of the meaning of as-sunnah. Ibn Athir rahimahullah goes on to say, يعني the most important part is the first part, al-asl fiha al-tariqa wa-seerah. يعني the tariqa, the way of the Prophet, the path of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his life is what is intended, the asl, original meaning of as-sunnah. وَإِذَا أُطْلِقَ فِي الشَّرْعِ فَإِنَّمَا يُرَادُ بِهَا مَا أَمَرَ بِهِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَنَهَى عَنْهُ وَنَدَبَ إِلَيْهِ قَوْلًا وَفِعْلًا مِمَّا لَمْ يَنْطِقْ بِهِ الْكِتَابُ الْعَزِيزُ. وَلِهَذَا يُقَالُ فِي أَدِلَّةِ الشَّرْعِ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةُ أي القرآن والحديث. And he said, if the word sunnah is used in its general absolute meaning, unrestricted meaning in the Sharia, then what is intended by it is what the Prophet ﷺ has commanded with, what he has prohibited from, and what he has encouraged. يعني المندوب, what he has encouraged, whether in speech or in action. يعني he encouraged it by saying something, or he encouraged it by his action. From those things which do not include that which is specifically pronounced in the Al-Kitab Al-Aziz, يعني Al-Quran. يعني the Sunnah means whatever the Prophet has commanded or prohibited or encouraged, whether by speech or by actions, that's not the what Allah has revealed in the Quran, other than what Allah revealed in the Quran. And for this reason, as is said, in the evidences of the divine law, it is mentioned like this, Al-Kitabu wa Sunnah. Yani there's the Kitab, the revelation, Allah's words, divine words, and then there's the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or meaning Al-Quran wal Hadith. Okay, so this definition tells us a number of things. The most important thing is that the asl of the meaning of sunnah is at-tariqah and as-seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning يعني the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he has said and done and so on. Some of them said that the sunnah, it means يعني when it is used in its absolute sense, it means ad-deenu kulluhu, the whole of the deen. يعني the sunnah of the Prophet encompasses the whole of the deen. Some other meanings of sunnah, according to the scholars of fiqh, the meaning of sunnah is ما دل عليه الشرع من غير افتراد ولا وجوب. And that which the divine law points to, that is not obligatory. يعني it's not fard and not wajib. And they gave other meanings also. According to the scholars, يعني of hadith, the broadest meaning of sunnah is كل ما أثر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير. Everything that has been conveyed to us from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, from speech, actions or approvals, أو سيرة أو صفة خلقية أو خلقية, سواء أكان ذلك قبل البعثة أو أم بعدها. يعني including the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, not just what he said and what he did and what he approved of, but the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his characteristics. يعني صفة خلقية, his physical characteristics, أو صفة خلقية, his يعني character traits, يعني his behavior, no matter if that was before he was missioned or after it. And this is the hadith that is from the scholars of, this is the definition from scholars of hadith. Also it is said, يعني that from the definitions of a sunnah is hadyu al-Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم في أصول الدين. يعني the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم related to the fundamentals of the deen, meaning the aqidah. Yani meaning of sunnah, aqidah, as in the book of Imam Ahmed, Usul as-sunnah. Yani he means by that the fundamentals of aqidah. Fundamentals of aqidah and the likes of this, the books of the scholars dealing with aqidah with the title of usul are many. Another meaning of sunnah is that which يعني ما شرعه أو أقره مقابل البدعة والمحدثات في الدين. يعني that which has been legislated and approved, which is in opposition to البدعة. يعني بدعة meaning that which they يعني invented, and sunnah here meaning يعني that which is founded in the Sharia. And there are other definitions. The main definition that we want to pay attention to is يعني the broad meaning of sunnah. That is the tariqah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this includes, yani, the meaning of sunnah, which includes al-aqidah. Not to mention, yani, the meaning of sunnah, meaning, yani, that which muqabil what al-wajib, or al-fard. Yani, the sunnah meaning that which is not obligatory. That which is not obligatory. Yani, they say this is fard and this is sunnah, not obligatory. So there are many meanings of sunnah. But what we want to say here is when we talk about Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we mean the people who hold fast to the tariqah, the total way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his whole life. Yani whatever he said and whatever he did and what he approved of, and his whole methodology in life, in dealing with every type of situation or circumstance. This is the first thing that I wanted to mention. The second thing I want to mention in reference to the title of the book, the title of our book is Minhaj Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal. So I want to look at the word minhaj just briefly. And actually, so many contemporary scholars have spoken about this particular expression that we can take one session of this class just to read the definitions, explanations that the scholars of sunnah have given to this word minhaj. But yani, we're not going to do that. But in any case, what I am saying is that we should go back and look at the various definitions or explanations that the scholars have given for the word minhaj, and especially in reference to the other word in this title, that is aqidah. Yani, what is the difference between manhaj and aqidah? What is the difference between them? Are they the same? What is their connection? Certainly they are connected. And I'm just going to give one statement, yani one explanation from Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He was asked this very question. He was asked this question in Al-Ajwiba Al-Mufidah. Yani the beneficial answers related to the methodologies of the modern sects. He was asked, هل هناك فرق بين العقيدة والمنهج؟ هل هناك فرق بين العقيدة والمنهج؟ And I'm saying that various scholars have explained this particular subject differently. This is one of the more simple explanations that's easy to understand from a scholar that I think we all yani can feel comfortable with what he has said here. Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah, he says, Al-Manhaj a'ammu min al-aqidah. Al-Manhaj a'ammu min al-aqidah. Yani it is more general, more broad than aqidah. Not that it's something different, but it's broader. Al-Manhaj yakunu fi al-aqidah. Wa fi al-suluk wal-akhlaq wal-mu'amalat. Wa fi kulli hayat al-Muslim. Yani al-manhaj, it will be in aqidah. There's manhaj in aqidah. And there's also manhaj in suluk and akhlaq and muamalat. Yani in behavior and manners and character and dealings. Yani social and business dealings. Yani there's manhaj in each of these areas. Rather, the Shaykh says, wa fi kulli hayat al-Muslim. In the whole life of the Muslim, there's manhaj. Yani there's manhaj in aqidah. And there's manhaj in ibadah. And there's manhaj in character and manners, and so on. The Shaykh, he says, كُلُّ الْخِطَّةِ الَّتِي يَسِيرُ عَلَيْهَا الْمُسْلِمُ تُسَمَّ مَنْهَجًا وَتُسَمُّ الْمَنْهَجِ كُلُّ الْخِطَّةِ الَّتِي يَسِيرُ عَلَيْهَا الْمُسْلِمُ تُسَمَّ الْمَنْهَجِ يعني every خِطَّة يعني every way, every procedure, every يعني line of action or course of action that the Muslim travels upon in his life is called manhaj. Meaning, we can refer back to what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned in the previous book that we just finished. And in the beginning of that book he said, to the person who asked him the question, فَقَدْ سَأَلْتَنِي بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكَ أَنْ عَضَعَ لَكَ مَنْهَجًا تَسِيرُ عَلَيْهِ فِي حَيَاتِكَ. Huh? He said, you asked that I placed for you a manhaj that you will travel upon in your life. A manhaj. And then he went on to say, أَوَّلًا فَأَقُولُ أَوَّلًا مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَثَانِيًا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَثَالِثًا عملك اليومي غير المفروضات. نعم. ورابعا طريقة طلب العلم. يعني the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله made us to know that there is a manhaj in your relationship with Allah, and there is a manhaj for your relationship with Rasulullah, and there is a manhaj in your ibadat other than that which is obligatory, and there is a manhaj in seeking knowledge, and there is manhaj, not the same exact guidelines for every aspect of your life. So Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan is saying, يعني that كل خطة التي تسير عليها المسلم في حياته تسمى المنهج. Every aspect of your life, every plan, program, routine, course of action that a Muslim follows based upon the Quran and the Sunnah in their life is called منهج. There's a منهج for everything according to what Allah has revealed. And the thing is to be upon the correct manhaj in whatever aspect of your life that you're dealing with. The Shaykh, he says, وَأَمَّا الْعَقِيدَةِ فَيُرَادُ بِهَا أَصْلُ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَعْنَى الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ وَمُقْتَضَاهُمَا هَذِهِ هِيَ الْعَقِيدَةِ. يعني the Shaykh, he summarized that as far as aqeedah, يعني the manhaj is the course of action. يعني the rules, the guidelines that you follow in your life, in every aspect of your life, that's from the divine revelation. And the aqeedah, what is intended by it, is aslul iman, the foundation of iman. Yani, which is tawheed, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all that that requires of us. Wa mana shahadatain, what is meant by aqeedah? The meaning of the two testimonies of la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, wa muqtadahuma, and all that they require or necessitate. In terms of worshipping Allah alone, worshipping Allah according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so on. This is what is intended by aqeedah. So in this book we have the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in relation to aqeedah, and in relation to other affairs, the yani actions of the Muslim. And as far as al-aqeedah, I want to mention what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says in another place in his explanation of Aqeedah Wasatiyah. And I always refer back to this book because he explained everything in this book, and all of the important affairs. And he says here, and he gives us the linguistic and the technical meaning of i'tiqad. Yani aqeedah, i'tiqad. Linguistically, for the students of Arabic, al-i'tiqad is from افتعال, يعني the eighth form of ثلاثي مزيد. افتعال. اعتقد يعتقد اعتقاد. من العقد, يعني the root of it is عين قاف دال, العقد. وهو الربط والشد. يعني اعتقاد is from the يعني مصدر افتعال form, which means يعني الربط, tying or binding something, and a shed, tightening it. Tying something, binding it and tightening it, making it, fastening it tight. The Shaykh said, وَأَمَّا الْإِصْطِلَاحِ عَنْدَهُمْ فَهُوَ حُكْمُ الذِّئْنِ الْجَازِمُ. حُكْمُ الذِّهْنِ الْجَازِمُ, يعني that which the mind has determined, the determination that the mind has reached with certainty, that which a person is certain about, has no doubt about. It is said, اَعْتَقَدْتُ كَذَا. Yani when a person says, اَعْتَقَدْتُ كَذَا, the meaning is, جَزَمْتُ بِهِ فِي قَلْبِي. Yani that I became certain about it in my heart. Yani the اعتقاد is that which a person has reached certainty about in their heart. So it is what? That which the heart or the mind is sure about. Then the Shaykh says here, in clarification of this, is yani just clarification of this point of what is yani i'tiqad wa aqeedah, he said, if this i'tiqad fa in tabaqa al waqi' fa huwa sahih, if it is in agreement yani in accord with reality, then it is yani i'tiqad sahih, wa in khalafa al waqi' fa huwa fasid, but if it is in contradiction to al waqi', to reality, then it is false aqeedah. And based on this, i'tiqaduna anna Allah ilahun wahid sahih. So our i'tiqad, our yani belief that Allah is one ilah, that alone deserves we worship, is i'tiqad sahih. I'tiqad al-Nasara anna Allah thalithun thalatha batilun. And the i'tiqad of the Nasara that Allah is three gods in one is batil, false. Why? لأنه مخالف لواقيع, because it is in contradiction to reality. It's in contradiction to reality. And then the Shaykh says, and the way in which the meaning, yani the linguistic meaning, is connected to the technical meaning, he said, is that yani the connection between them is that this person, هذا الذي حكم في قلبه على شيء ما, the person yani who has made a determination in his heart concerning a particular matter, كأنه عقده عليه وشده عليه بحيث لا يتفلت منه. And it is as though he has tied his heart to this matter, and he has tightened it to it in such a way that he cannot free himself from it. Yani that aqidah, that thing that his heart yani resolved upon or determined it with certainty. So the thing that the Muslim is certain about in terms of his aqidah, the asl of it is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shahadatain, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and all that is derived from them. This is the aqidah that we are talking about. We are talking about the iman that is required from the Muslims, yani iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other yani arkan of iman, and whatever is derived from them. The last point that I want to make is, before we read this first point of this book, I want us to yani think about the importance of what the Shaykh is about to embark upon, and that is explanation of the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah related to the names of Allah and His Sifat. The names of Allah and His Sifat. And the importance of Aqidah is shown from a number of things. The first of them is that the Aqidah is the usul of this deen. Whereas the thing that most people are engaged in studying and attracted to and enlivened by is the furoor, yani the fiqh. One of the scholars, I remember him saying, if you talk about fiqh, the people will stay up all night. But when you start talking about aqidah, everybody goes to sleep. But the furoor, the fiqh, the jurisprudence is secondary. And the usul is the aqidah. This is the most important thing. Second matter, the Prophet ﷺ's concentration on the tawheed. During his time in Mecca and during the boycott for 13 years, the Prophet ﷺ enforced, yani taught his companions and those who listened to him the matter of aqidah, the tawheed. The third matter is that every prophet and messenger that was sent to his people was sent to the people. There was mission to the people telling them to what? أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Every messenger, every nation had a messenger sent to them telling them to worship Allah alone and to avoid the worship of other than Allah. And the last two matters is that tawheed yani is the first thing that we are to call to, and tawheed yani, as the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh, yani, do you know what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over his servants? And he said, and the right of Allah over his servants, أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, yani that they worship him alone and don't associate anything with him. The Prophet ﷺ, when he sent Mu'adh to Yemen, he told him, you're going to the people from Ahlul Kitab, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلُ مَا تَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يُوَحِدَ اللَّهُ. The first thing that you should call them to is that they declare Allah's oneness, that they worship Allah alone. Both of these hadith reported in Sahih al-Bukhari. And this is a summary of the points that we wanted to make today before we read a little bit from the book. If we understand the importance of Tawheed, then we understand the importance of this summary of the first matter that the Shaykh brings here related to the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. And the Shaykh has written a book, Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla Fi Sifati Allahi وأسمائه الحسنى, which is a tremendous book, which is a tremendous book. And I, honestly, I can say, yani, I'm saying it because it's real. If I had the money to buy them, I would buy all of you a copy. I don't have that much money, so I might buy one or two for one or two people, but it's a book that everybody should have. One of our sisters in another country, she told my wife today, that book, after she received it a few days ago, she said that every student of knowledge should have this book. There's no student of knowledge except they need to have this book, Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla. That book, the Sheikh gives the Qawaid related to Asma wa Sifat. In this book, we only just get a hint of it. So here is just a taste, but really we need to go back and read Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla. The Shaykh, he begins here where we left off last week after mentioning the meaning of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He said, أولاً, يعني the منهج أهل السنة والجماعة في العقيدة والعمل, أولاً بيان طريق أهل السنة والجماعة في أسماء الله تعالى وصفاته. بيان طريق أهل السنة, يعني منهج أهل السنة في أسماء الله تعالى وصفاته مع أمثلة توضح تلك الطريقة. تلك الطريقة, نعم, يعني the tariqah, the manhaj, the way of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah concerning the names of Allah the Most High and His sifat, His qualities or characteristics or descriptions, along with examples which clarify that tariqah, examples that clarify the tariqah of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. The Shaykh, this is on page 2, the middle of the page in Arabic, on page 12 in English translation. The Shaykh says, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we're going to have about 3 or 4 points that we're going to cover here. Try to make note of what is important from what the Shaykh is saying. أهل السنة والجماعة طريقتهم في أسماء الله وصفاته أنهم يعتبرون أن ما ثبت من أسماء الله وصفاته في كتاب الله أو فيما صح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو حق على حقيقته يراد به ظاهره. يعني the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, their tariqah, their way, their manhaj, their methodology concerning the names of Allah and His sifat is that they consider that which has been confirmed from the names of Allah and His characteristics in the Book of Allah and in that which has been authentically narrated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is that which has been confirmed in the Book and the Sunnah, it is haqqun, it is the truth. على حقيقته, in its reality, يعني its literal meaning, يراد به ظاهره, what is intended by it is the apparent meaning, يعني whatever has been confirmed, note the word confirmed, in the book and what is confirmed from that which is authentically narrated from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the authentic sunnah, it is the truth upon its reality, يعني its literal meaning, what is intended by it is its apparent meaning, not some reinterpretation or distortion of its meaning or giving it some other type of yani explanation, but ala zahirihi haqiqatihi, its real actual literal meaning. This is the first point. The tariq of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah concerning the names and sifat is that everything that was confirmed from the names of Allah and His sifat in the Book of Allah and authentic narration from the Messenger of Allah, it is the truth. In its literal meaning, what is intended by it is the apparent meaning. Not, well, what it really means, yani Allah's descending meaning, His yani ni'mah, His favors or His bounties or His blessings descend. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the sama' dunya in the last third of the night. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ala zahirihi, haqiqatihi. Wa la yahtaj ila tahrif al-muharrifin. And we are not in need of the distortions of those who distort the textual evidences, distort the names of Allah, the sifat of Allah. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ تَحْرِيفَ الْمُحَرِّفِينَ. And the reason why we are not in need of these distortions is because these distortions are مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى سُوءُ قَصْدٍ أَوْ سُوءُ فَهْمٍ. Yani because either one of two things, that these distortions are based upon a wrong, evil understanding or wrong intention. The people who are distorting, they have an evil intent. Or they have a misunderstanding, they don't understand. These distortions are based on one of two things. Either evil intent or evil, yani wrong, false understanding. In terms of their su'a fahm, their wrong understanding, haythu dhannu is such that they thought that if they had confirmed تلك النصوص, those textual evidences that came in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah, if they had affirmed them, or if those textual evidences, or if they had affirmed those names or those characteristics, على ظاهرها, in the way that they appear, their meaning as they appear, that Allah has hands, if they affirm it as on its apparent meaning, ظنوا, they thought wrongly, that this would be إثبات للتمثيل, that then they will be making examples for Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير, there's nothing like Him. So you can't make an example of something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of His names or His sifat. They thought that if they affirmed it on its apparent meaning, then they would have been doing تمثيل. وَلِهَذَا صَارُوا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ الْكَلِمَةَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. Yani the shaykh here is alluding to the ayat in the Quran in the 4th surah, 46 ayat. Yani for this reason, because of this wrong understanding, they began to يُحَرِّف الْكَلِمَ, yani alter the words from their places, yani give them different interpretations or different meanings because of their wrong understanding. The shaykh says, وَقَدْ يَكُونُونَ مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَفْحَمُوا هَذَا الْفَهَمُ. It's also possible another group of them who distort the meanings, it may be that they didn't have this kind of understanding, this wrong understanding. That wasn't their problem. وَلَكِنْ لَهُمْ سُوْ قَصْدٍ فِي تَفْرِيكْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ الْإِسْلَمِيَّةِ شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَارِحُونَ. But rather they had an evil intent, and that is to divide up this Islamic ummah into sects and parties, and every one of those parties يعني rejoicing in that which is with it. And here the shaykh is alluding to another ayah in the Quran, نعم, in the 30th surah, 32nd ayat. And in the text, in the Arabic text of this book, the word يعني كُلُّ حِزْب, it should be كُلُّ حِزْب, it's written رَاحَبَ, يعني misprint, it should be كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَارِحُونَ. So the shaykh is saying here that we are not in need of these distortions, these deviated interpretations or reinterpretations, explanations that are in contradiction to the apparent meaning of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has confirmed for himself, or that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has confirmed for him in the authentic hadith. We are no need of this, because these distortions are based upon two things. One, the people have a misunderstanding, and the second, people have an evil intent to divide up the ummah with these distorted interpretations, to make people into different parties, everybody being pleased with that which they have with them. After this, the shaykh says, next point, he goes on, next paragraph, wa ahl sunnah wal jama'ah, well, I don't know if it's the next paragraph, but in any case, next, yeah, I want to go to a new point here, wa ahl sunnah wal jama'ah, yu'minuna bi'anna ma samma Allahu bihi nafsa, wa ma wasafa Allahu bihi nafsahu, في كتابه أو should be a word أو في كتابه أو على لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو حق على حقيقته وعلى ظاهره ولا يحتاج إلى تحريف المحرفين بل هو أبعد ما يكون عن ذلك وهو أيضا لا يمكن أن يفهم منه ما لا يليق بالله عز وجل من صفات النقص أو المماثلة بالمخلوقين. Okay, here the Shaykh is saying the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that whatever Allah has named Himself with, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that whatever Allah has named Himself with, or whatever He has described Himself with, in His book or upon the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَهُوَ حَقٌ عَلَى حَقِيقَتِهِ وَعَلَى ظَاهِرِهِ. Then indeed it is the truth in accordance with its reality, its literal meaning, عَلَى ظَاهِرِهِ, as it appears to be. Yani its apparent literal meaning. Yani what the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah believe, that whatever Allah has named Himself with, whatever Allah has described Himself with, whether in His book or in the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then indeed it is the truth in its literal, apparent, real meaning, and we have no need of the distortions of the people who distort. بَلْ هُوَ أَبْعَدْ, yani whatever Allah has named Himself with, and whatever He has described Himself with, in the book or in the Sunnah, هُوَ أبعد ما يكون عن ذلك. يعني it couldn't be further from that. يعني it is أبعد ما يكون. It is as far as possible from that, from those interpretations. It is far from how these people have given يعني distorted interpretations or meanings of the names and sifat of Allah. وهو أيضا, and the Shaykh now makes a point, and also لا يمكن, it is not possible to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named himself with, or what he has described himself with in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah. It is not possible to understand it, يعني ما لا يليق بالله عز وجل. يعني it is not possible to understand what Allah has confirmed for himself or described himself with in a way that is not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not befitting of His majesty, His glory, His greatness, His supremacy, His excellence, His perfection. It is not possible to understand it in a way that is not befitting of Allah Azza wa Jalla, yani meaning that it be understood in a way that these sifat are sifat and naqs, defective characteristics, or al-mumathila bil-makhluqeen, or it cannot be understood to be something that resembles or is an example, yani a mathal, compared to the yani similar to the created beings. It should not be understood in such a way that there is some kind of comparison between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and any created being. It's not possible to understand it in this way. Yani meaning that if a person interprets or yani gives an interpretation or explanation of the sifat of Allah, the names of Allah, that indicate a meaning of imperfection or similarity or resemblance between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the created being, this is the wrong, distorted interpretation, understanding. It's not possible to understand Allah's names or sifat except in a way that's befitting of His majesty and His greatness and His glory. And that's not possible if you compare Allah to the created beings, defective human beings. And then the Shaykh says, and I know we're coming to the end of our time, inshallah we take a couple of minutes after that then. And then the Shaykh says, بهذه الطريقة المثلى يسلمون من الزيغ والإلحاد في أسماء الله وصفاته فلا يثبتون لله إلا ما أثبته لنفسه أو أثبته له رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم غير زائدين في ذلك ولا ناقصين عنه. يعني in this exemplary way or in this exemplary طريقة يعني منهج of the أهل السنة والجماعة, if whoever follows it, يسلمون من الزيغ, then they will be safe from perversion, distortion, deviation in the names of Allah and His sifat, if they follow this tariqah. What is this tariqah? لا يثبتون لله إلا ما أثبت لنفسه. That they do not affirm for Allah except that which He affirmed for Himself, or that which His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has affirmed for Him. They do not affirm for Allah anything except that which He affirms for Himself or what His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم affirmed for Him, غير زائدين, without adding anything to it at all and without taking anything away from it. Just as Allah brought it, that's the way we take it. What Allah came with in the Quran, what came in the authentic Sunnah, we don't add to it, we don't take anything from it, we affirm that which has come to us from Allah and through His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, without adding to it or taking anything from it or interpreting it in any other way other than حقيقته على ظاهره, except its real reality, meaning, and what it appears to be. يعني it is as it appears to be. Of course, يعني keeping in mind ليس كمثله شيء, that however we understand it, it should not be understood in such a way that it's similar to a created being. Now, ولهذا كانت طريقتهم أن أسماء الله وصفاته توقيفية. And for this reason, their tariqah, Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, is that the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah are tawqifiyya. Tawqifiyya. لا يمكن لأحد أن يسمي الله بما لم يسمي به نفسه أو أن يصف الله بما لم يصف به نفسه. يعني it's not possible for anybody to name Allah with something that he didn't name himself with, or to describe Allah with something that he didn't describe himself with. This is the meaning of tawqifiyya. That you can't name Allah with anything except what he named himself with. And that you can't, yani, describe Allah except with that which He described Himself with. Tawqifiyya, meaning that you have to stop upon the text that came in the Quran and the Sunnah and not go beyond that. Yani al-waqf, al-wuquf, ala al-nas min al-Quran aw al-Sunnah. Yani so, yani here the Shaykh, he came to a very important yani qaida, principle, related to what? the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. ولهذا كانت طريقتهم أن أسماء الله وصفاته توقيفية. يعني the طريقة, the منهاج of أهل السنة is that the names of Allah and His sifat, His characteristics or descriptions or qualities are توقيفية. So therefore it is not possible for anyone to name Allah with what he didn't name himself with. Because why? You have to stop. يعني الوقوف توقيفية means that you have to stop on the textual evidences from the Quran and authentic Sunnah and don't go beyond that. Not adding anything to it or negating anything from it. But stop upon the nusus, the text. You cannot name Allah with anything he didn't name himself with. You cannot describe Allah with something he didn't describe himself with. I remember one of the brothers, may Allah have mercy upon him. He came with some descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his followers accepted without a question. He said, Allah is a divine mind. Yani logically it sounds good. And if you don't know any better, right? Divine mind. Yani a mind is good, right? And a divine mind. But did Allah describe himself as a divine mind? Wallahi yaqi shay ajib. Millions of people in this country, they accepted what he said without question. Because what? They don't have any principles. But the people who have principles know that the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah are only that which he has named himself with. And what he has described himself with, or that which he was named with or described with by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic hadith. It's not permissible to describe Allah with any other description except that which he described himself with. However good it might sound. And to some people it might sound, that doesn't even sound right. Maybe. If you have some knowledge of Islam, it doesn't sound right. But regular people, regular Muslims, who don't have any knowledge, well, it sounds good. Because millions of people, I'm saying literally, I'm not exaggerating, in this country, millions of his followers accepted it. Nobody questioned it. He said, Allah is a divine mind. And it was on the front page of the national newspaper. Divine mind. But this qaida of the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah protects people from falling into deviation and distortion. Because what? Because we have a principle that the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah are tawqifiyya. You can't name Allah, describe Allah with anything except what he named and described himself with or his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed for him. There's a footnote. It's not in the English translation of the book, but it's a very important footnote. It's from Al-Qawa'id Al-Muthla. Shaykh Al-Taymin says in Al-Qawa'id Al-Muthla, page 13, the names of Allah the Most High and his sifat are tawqifiyya. La majal al-aql fiyya. There's no room for the intellect to have any role to play in reference to the names of Allah and His sifat. The intellect, however smart somebody may think they are, there's no role for it here. It's what Allah has confirmed and what the Messenger Allah has confirmed from, and outside of that, khalas, we don't accept it. وَعَلَى هَذَا يَجِبُ وَالْغُقُوفِ. So based upon this, it is obligatory that we stop. فِيهَا. Yani in reference to the names and sifat. على ما جاء به الكتاب والسنة. يعني that we stop, that we stick to what came in the book and the sunnah, القرآن والسنة. فلا يزاد فيها. We don't add anything to it beyond what has come in the book and the sunnah, nor do we take anything from it. And that is because the عقل, the mind, the intellect, لا يمكنه إدراك ما يستحق تعالى من أسماء والصفات. Because the mind is not capable to comprehend what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of names and sifat. The intellect is not capable of that. فَوَجَبَ الْوُقُوفِ فِي ذَلِكَ عَلَى النَّصِ. Therefore it's obligatory to stop at that which came in the text, Quran and authentic hadith. Shaykh goes on to say, in that place, and he says, وَلِيَنَّ تَسْمِيَتُهُ تَعَالَى بِمَا لَمْ يُسَمْ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ أو إنكار ما سمى به نفسه جناية في حقه تعالى. And that is because naming Allah the Most High with that which he didn't name himself with, or rejecting that which he has named himself with, this is a violation of the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A crime against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فوجب سلوك الأدب في ذلك والاقتصار على ما جاء به النص. So therefore it is obligatory for us to have manners, adab, in this affair, and to limit ourselves to that which came in the text of Quran and authentic hadith. This footnote is not in the English translation, but it's a very important footnote. And then I'll close after this footnote. The Shaykh, this is the closing statement that we're going to stop here with this. The Shaykh says, therefore, based on this rule of tawqifiyya and what we have just read, any person who says inna min asma'illahi kaza or laysa min asma'illahi kaza, and whoever says that indeed such and such is one of the names of Allah, or such and such is not a name of Allah that Allah has named himself with, or that this particular characteristic is from the sifat of Allah, or a particular characteristic is not from the sifat of Allah, bila dalil, without any evidence, he's saying this, what is or what is not a name of Allah, a sifat of Allah, with bila dalil, fa'innahu, instead of li'annahu should be fa'innahu la shakka qawlun ala Allah bila ilm, then indeed there's no doubt that this is speaking about Allah without knowledge. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. We're going to read these ayats and come back to the tafsir next time. Please go back and look at the tafsir of these ayats. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, يعني in the 7th surah, Al-A'raf, ayat 33, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. الفواحشة والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. First ayat the Shaykh mentioned, we're going to close with these two ayats. The Shaykh, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي, that indeed my Rabb has made haram, forbidden, al-fawahisha, all types of indecent, filthy behavior or speech. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ, whether it appears openly or that which is inwardly. Yani inward actions, yani in the heart, or outward actions. وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغِي بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and sin, yani against the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْبَغِي بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, or transgression against the people without a right. Yani that which is against the rights of Allah, that which is against the rights of the people. الْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغِي بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا, and look at the last things that Allah mentioned in this ayah, and one of the places Ibn Qayyim says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these five areas that he have forbidden, and each one of them is worse than the one before it. And each one of them is worse than the one before it. And this requires some discussion, perhaps, when you look at the order of these things. Al-fawahisha, indecent behavior. Al-ithm, sin against Allah. Al-baghi, transgression against the people without right. Wa an tushriku billahi is surely worse than all of them, right? Ma lam yunazzil bihi sultana. To associate something, to offer worship or the rights of Allah to other than Allah without any authority to do so, without any proof for doing so. And then last he said, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that you say about Allah what you don't know. Is it possible that it's worse than all the rest? It is. It is. Inshallah, we'll look at the tafsir next week, inshallah. It is. When people speak about the deen of Allah without knowledge, what could be worse than that? That's not just going to be shirk, it's going to be everything. The whole deen will be corrupted. The law of Allah will be corrupted. Everything will be lost. Naam.
Can it be worse, the worst of all these crimes, because speaking out about Allah which you don't know can be the reason for all
Naam. Of course, that's the point. That when a person speaks about Allah's deen, speak about Allah, anything that Allah has legislated, whoever speaks about Allah's name, sifat, Allah's actions, Allah's law, whoever speaks about the deen of Allah without knowledge, then it leads to every kind of corruption and wrong, and deviation and destruction, and the loss of the deen itself completely. And that's what we see in the world today. But the people who speak about the deen of Allah without knowledge, they have destroyed their deen. They have lost their deen. In any case, the Shaykh, he says, I mean, the ayat closes by what? And that you say about Allah, مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that which you don't know. You're speaking without knowledge. This is a very, very severe crime to speak about the deen of Allah, about Allah or his deen, without knowledge. This is from the 7th surah, 33rd ayah. And then the Shaykh closes, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, yani this is a reference to what? That the names and sifat of Allah tawqifiyya, yani that they are based on the text from the Quran and Sunnah. You can't just say whatever you feel like saying, and you don't have knowledge, you don't have sultan, you don't have a proof, something that Allah has revealed. You don't have a right to do that. That is a very serious matter. And then the Shaykh closes, قَالَ تَعَالَى, the surah al-Isra, 17th surah, 36th ayat, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, يعني don't follow, لَا تَقْفُ, لَا تَتَّبِعُ, يعني don't pursue, don't assume, don't say, don't do anything, مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, that you don't have knowledge of. They don't have knowledge based on what you're saying or what you're doing or what you're claiming. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُعَادَ يعني the hearing and the sight and the heart. كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ All of these كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولَ All of them, you will be questioned about all of them. You will be questioned about what you said. You will be questioned about what you did. You will be questioned about what's in your heart. كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولَ This is from 17th Surah, 36th Ayat. Don't follow, don't pursue, don't act, don't speak about that which you don't have any knowledge of. You will be questioned. You will be questioned about it all يوم القيامة. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Inshallah, next week we look at the tafsir, of a little bit of the tafsir of this ayah. I think the time is very close to the end now.
Just like it's people describe him by calling him for divine mind. What do people call him supreme being?
Is that a translation or is the actual word?
No, there's another way of people who describing him.
Allah is the supreme being. He is Al-A'la. He is Al-Azim. Naam. Naam. That's supreme. Al-Azim. Al-A'la is the supreme. Naam. Wa iyyakum. Bikum barakallah. Yani we're not saying that you can't translate a word and say in your language what the meaning is. If Allah has a name or a sifa and you translate into your language, if the translation is accurate, there's no harm. But we're not saying that word is the name of Allah. That's the translation of it, right? Like when we translate an ayah from the Quran. We're not saying this is the speech of Allah. Rather, this is the translation. But how you will give the people if they don't know the Arabic, right? You have to translate the name of Allah, the sifa of Allah, the ayah of Allah. You have to translate it. Naam. But when people make up something has no basis in the Quran or in the Sunnah, that's what we're talking about. Okay, brothers, we're going to close here. And sisters also, brothers and sisters.